This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. For much of the 20th century, Willie Otte Kay was a household name among the fashion conscious in Raleigh. She crafted a one-of-a-kind business dress for women to wear to weddings, debutante balls, and other formal events. She was known both for her own distinct style and for being able to replicate another dress designer's dress just by seeing a photograph. A new exhibit on view at the North Carolina Museum of History examines Willie Kay's life and legacy and tells some of the behind-the-scenes story about a woman who formed a successful business out of necessity after she was widowed with five children. Made Especially for You by Willie Kay is on view through September, and joining me now to talk about it is the exhibit curator, Diana Bell Kite. Diana, welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you.
Also with us are two of Willie Kay's family members. Her grandniece, Elizabeth Constant Lewis, is with us. Elizabeth, welcome. Good to have you here.
Good morning.
Also with us is her grandson, Charles Otte Kay. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you.
Diana, let me start with you and give you some of the backstory. Who is Willie Kay and what inspired this exhibit?
Well, Willie Kay was a formal wear designer in Raleigh who had an extraordinarily long career. She started her business in about 1927, and she was still sewing through the 1980s. She lived to be 98 years old, just a very, very well-known and prolific designer. The North Carolina Museum of History has been collecting Willie Kay's work since the early 1980s. And we have in our collection about 15 pieces that she made. And, you know, it's such a fascinating story. And we have a weekly social media feature called Textile Tuesday, and that allows people to see items from our collection that aren't necessarily on display. And we featured a Kay dress about 18 months ago, and the public response was just overwhelming. So much interest in her work, so many people locally and across the state and even beyond who remember her have dresses made by her.
Well, tell us a little bit about her early years and her family circumstances growing up.
Well, Willie Kay was, she grew up in Raleigh, in a fairly middle-class African-American family. She was the oldest of eight children. She attended Shaw University, where she graduated in 1912 with a degree in home economics. She won the school-wide dressmaking competition that year. She and her sisters, who were also very skilled dressmakers, had learned to sew from their mother and their grandmother who lived with them. And that's something that she and her sisters had always excelled at doing. She met the love of her life, John Walcott Kay, at Shaw while he was a student in Shaw's Leonard Medical School. They married and moved to Wilmington, where he had a dream of establishing a hospital for African Americans in that city. And they, you know, began married life. They you know, had children, and then very suddenly he died in his mid-30s from a strangulated hernia, and she found herself, you know, her life's course as she had seen it was completely changed in one moment. So she moved back to Raleigh to be near her family.
By then she had five children, right?
Right, she had had seven children, five of whom survived childhood, yeah.
So here she is. She's a widow. She moves back to Raleigh. She's got five kids. She knows how to be a dressmaker, but that's not where she was headed with in her life with her husband, who is a doctor in Wilmington, and now she's back in Raleigh.
Exactly. So she starts a business to make wedding gowns, debutante gowns, formal wear. And her father was a barber in Raleigh. He owned his own barber shop. That his father before him had owned, called Odie and Son Barbershop. And it was in the Yarborough House Hotel, which is Raleigh's grandest hotel of the era, on Fayetteville Street. And he served a white clientele in that barbershop. And it was sort of the movers and shakers of North Carolina society who would be there, politicians, businessmen. And so he had a lot of contacts in the elite white community, if you will. And Willie Kay said in an oral history that she gave in the mid-1980s that you know, really helped her business to take off. He would tell his clients, you know, my daughter has started a dressmaking business. You know, if your wives or your daughters need formal wear, you know, let her know. She'll help you out. And simultaneously, she also, you know, was very connected in Raleigh's African-American community and built quite a following for formal wear in that community as well.
Well, Charles Otay Kay, you are Willie's grandson.
Yeah.
You spent some time. Tell us what you remember about her and about how she worked.
I remember sitting in a chair in the corner of her sewing room beside the candy bowl. And she'd be fitting, doing fitting, beating, whatever she was doing. People would come in back and forth. And also remember the vegetable soup and the chicken salad sandwiches.
So you've named a lot of food here,
yes.
Charles. I know
I'm
how
a eater.
I know how we got how she got you in the room. Did you take part in any of this? Were you participating in any of this?
I was too young at that point to participate. I just watched. You know, she was such an artist. She was an artist to me, and she had the soul of an angel. So it was just watching her was enough for me. We were watching soap operas together.
There are stories about her ability just to take a look at a picture, right, and even from the New York Times, and be able to recreate it. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, my father used to get her a New York Times every week on Sunday, and she would take the fashion section. That's the only section that she wanted. And she would, from that, she could draw and make patterns. She made all of her own patterns, by the way. She didn't buy patterns, she made them. So, and she just had this artistic means, and she was just so artistic. It's off the chains, and like I said, her spirit was so great.
Elizabeth Constant Lewis, you spent a lot of time around Willie and her sisters growing up. Tell us about your experience with them.
Well, I would like to just interject in what Charles said. When I was a debutante, Aunt Willie had a picture that she had gotten out of the Vogue Bridal magazine, and she showed it to me, and then she'd draw what she was going to do on top of that. And it had short sleeves, but for your wedding, you would buy extra fabric, and then the sleeves and the train were added. When I was a little girl, my dad died when I was almost four. So I would go with my grandmother, who did the beading, to Aunt Willie's house and to her other sister, Aunt Mills. But Aunt Willie was just like the sweetest woman you could ever meet. She was an artist. She could design anything from a picture, but she put her own spin. And one of her signatures is her beaded roses that are on a lot of her gowns. But the sisters were, all of them were very artistic. They all could draw. Aunt Mill had a mural in her house. And Aunt Willie could draw. They could just design. It was a God-given talent. And my grandmother sewed, but she mostly embellished the dresses.
So these were designed and made by that family.
Well, they
family
were made,
together.
Right. Aunt Willie made and she designed the dresses. Mm-hmm. And then my grandmother would go and bead them. A lot of times, first of all, the dresses are cut out, and then my aunt would cut the lace, and my grandmother would bead the Alençon lace because they used a lot of French laces then. Or they may draw a design on the dress, and my grandmother would then go in and fill in with sequins, pearls, or oats. They also used rhinestones, but those were put on with a stud machine.
Mm-hmm. And each design was unique, right? So no woman in North Carolina had a Willie.
Well, the dresses were kept in a closet that you didn't get to see anyone else's dresses.
Mm. Wow. Let me go back a little bit and ask you, Diana, kind of how unique this was and whether or not this, you know, that one woman would have such an influence, or one designer in a locale could have such an influence on society. Was this kind of going on everywhere, or was this sort of unique to the Triangle and here in North Carolina?
Well, I mean, there were dressmakers across the state. She wasn't the only dressmaker, and like Mrs. Lewis said, there, you know, her sisters also had very loyal clientele as well in terms of being a dressmaker. But Willie Kay really had a widespread reputation, as I said earlier, among both the African-American community and the white community during a period, you know, of Jim Crow segregation, which is somewhat noteworthy. And she really, you know, she had clients from as far away as Florida, South Carolina, Georgia, and people would drive from eastern North Carolina to Raleigh to see her, or from western North Carolina. So she really did have a following that grew over time.
And the interesting thing, one of the interesting things about the exhibit is not only are the dresses on display, but there are some oral histories, and you've interviewed people, or somebody has interviewed people who knew and worked with Willie Kay, and we can listen to one clip now from one of her former clients.
She was the go-to person in North Carolina, not Raleigh, but North Carolina, for a special occasion dress. And very professional, very low-key. She was very good at saying, well, you are a string bean, so maybe this design might look really good on you. And believe me, she was not that straightforward. Mm-hmm. It was one of those things where she would help you figure out what would be best on your figure. In 1968, when I got married, Mrs. Kay made a special occasion dress, my mother's dress for my wedding, and it was a very lovely lavender dress. Mom died unexpectedly in 1975, and we decided to bury her in that very special dress.
That is Marion White Gervais. She's talking about dressmaker Willie Ote Kay, and we're talking about an exhibit of Willie Kay's life and work on view at the North Carolina Museum of History. It'll be there through September, and I'm here with some of Willie Kay's family members and exhibit curator Diana Bell Kite. So, Diana, clearly, I mean, this is somebody who's important to the culture of North Carolina, not only because she made great dresses, but obviously there are so many stories that are integrated and bound into the work that she did.
Oh, yes. And that was really the ultimate joy of working on this project, was being able, having the privilege to speak to so many family members of the Ote family, and to speak to so many former clients, people who knew the Ote sisters through a variety of, you know, parts of their lives. And just hearing so many of these stories, it's rare I get to work on an exhibit that where the topic is still so much in living memory.
Sure.
And that was really delightful.
Charles, you were laughing when Marion talked about the graceful way in which your grandmother could kind of guide someone into the right whose figure may or may not have. Did you ever witness her sort of being graceful in that way and suggesting that maybe this is not the dress for you?
Oh, for sure. She has a way of getting you to do things that you should be doing anyway without insulting you. She wouldn't raise her voice or anything when you would. She would discipline us. So, yeah, she had that spirit.
Elizabeth, you are a beater, and you ran your own company for a long time. How did your grandmother and great aunt, or did they, influence your approach to this?
Well, they were meticulous, and so that's what I try to do as well. They were, when they made a garment, when Aunt Willie made something, not only is it gorgeous outside, but if you look at the inside of the work, it's fabulous. And so I try to maintain that if I do anything, I make a lot of jewelry, I'm a knitter, but I want it to the level of perfection. And she was a perfectionist. She loved her family. She didn't just let her business take her life. She loved her family. She was a fantastic cook. She used china and crystal, and her home was just gorgeous.
And she won the respect not only of her clients and her customers, obviously, but her peers in the fashion industry. We have a clip of Eric Ennis, who is a Raleigh fashion designer and a beater and was a colleague of Willie Ote Kay. Let's listen.
Well, I moved to Raleigh in 1966 after living in New York for quite a while, and had started dress designing in New York. And shortly after coming to town, I began to gradually hear from people about Willie Kay. I would go once in a while up to Belk's department store and shop, and even was asked that, have you met Willie Kay? So her reputation was very, very large. She had a following. And so finally, one day I was up there and one of the clerks took me over and said, I want you to meet her. And she was very charming, very polite, very nice lady. We chit-chatted. We gradually became casual friends. We weren't real close friends. I really marveled at her because I had trouble myself because some people, a lack of education or a lack of knowledge, and a man sewing, how can a man be sewing? And I would have people, they wanted to go into my workroom because they didn't think I was doing the work, you know. It's just some of the ridiculous stuff that I ran into. And I've many times thought about, if I've had it hard, I bet she had it twice as hard. But she gained her reputation because of her quality of work.
That's Eric Ennis talking about dressmaker Willie Otey Kay. And we're talking about an exhibit of Willie Kay's life and work on view at the North Carolina Museum of History through the beginning of September. I am here with Charles Otey Kay, Willie Kay's grandson, and as well as Elizabeth Constant Lewis, who is Willie Kay's grandniece. And Diana Bell Kite is with us. She's the exhibit curator. Diana, we talked about this, and I wonder if you can just step back and kind of give us some perspective on this, because you mentioned the fact that this would be somewhat at least noteworthy, that a woman of color could make these kind of inroads in the early part of the 20th century. To what extent did that play a part, and how do you think that Willie was able to navigate these questions in what was the Jim Crow South?
Well, and her family members might have, you know, interesting perspective on this as well. But from all the people I've talked to, everyone has mentioned just what a gentle personality she had, how diplomatic she was in her language and her comportment, that she was, you know, really very shrewd, and that these personality traits really helped bolster her business. She had a way of, and she's working with very stressed out people, if you can imagine brides and debutantes getting their dresses made on a daily basis, and having this way of putting people at ease, letting them know that, you know, you're in good hands, it's going to be all right, you're going to have a beautiful dress made especially for you, that really worked to her advantage in what was, you know, a situation where she would have to be very diplomatic.
Well, let me ask Elizabeth Constant Lewis about this, because certainly we'd like to think that race doesn't matter, but in those days in particular, it was maybe a time when it did seem to matter to people. How do you think, what part did it play, and how was she able to navigate this?
Well, I think that's very interesting, because I talked with Charles about that before coming here. We really were not raised as far as black and white. Mm-hmm. We were raised as people. Our family was very, at that time, way above or way ahead of society even today. They taught us to love everyone. And my aunt's house was as beautiful as any home of the most wealthiest white or black person in Raleigh. So I don't think they looked at it as black or white. You were taught to love, respect, and people were coming to her. And I don't believe because she was black. They were coming because you have this fantastic woman that made garments that were, if it could be compared to Chanel in New York, she would have been someone like that. The things were exquisite. So they were coming to get the most gorgeous garment that they could, and I don't believe race played into it at all.
Elizabeth Constant Lewis is the grandniece of Willie Kay, and I'm also here with Willie Kay's grandson, Charles Otey Kay. Diana Bell Kite is an associate curator with the North Carolina Museum of History and curator of the exhibit especially for you by Willie Kay, and I want to thank all of you for being on our program today.
Thank you.
You can find out more about the exhibit at our website, stateofthings.org. That exhibit will be at the North Carolina Museum of History through September 5th. WUNC.org with all the information. Just ahead, country music star Reese Palmer joins us in our studio for some live music on the State of Things. Please stay tuned.